Today's daf is Shavuos daf Chav Tes, the last daf of the third parak of Maseches Shavuos. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Neumann, Lizchus Rufo Shalema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frumit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Baschaya, Mishpatav Rufo Shalema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We're holding on daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. We're about six lines before the end of the page. We're in the middle of a series of three different shailas relating to Shavuah that Avimi asked Eifa, and what they all have in common with each other is that he didn't like the answer that Eifa gave to each of these three questions. So yesterday we did the first two of the three questions. Today we're going to pick up with the third question that Avimi asked Eifa, which is very similar to the second question. It seems like it's almost the reverse of the second question, and the conversation that ensues when he asks that shaila. Then we're going to have a Mishnah on Amud Aleph and Chav Tes Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah is going to define three different types of Shavua Shav, and it's going to give examples of each of those types of Shavua Shav. And then the end of the Mishnah is going to talk about what if a person makes two Shavuos that contradict each other. Is that a violation of Shavuos Bitoy, Shavua Shav, both of them? So the Mishnah is going to discuss it, and the Gemara is going to elaborate. Then the Gemara is going to have a discussion whether a Shavua can be subject to the definition of the person taking it. Meaning a person says, I'm taking a Shavua that I saw a Gamal Poreach. So do we say that's ridiculous? There's no such thing as a Gamal Poreach, as a flying camel. Or do we assume he meant that he saw a very giant bird, and in his language, he likes to call that a Gamal Poreach. So the Gemara is going to bring Rayas whether a Shavua can be subject to one's own definitions. And Nafkamina would be when you're being Meshbia somebody that you have to actually explicitly say, oh, and by the way, when I'm making you take the Shavua, you have to work with my definition of what these words mean. When I say that you paid back, that you're taking the Shavua, you paid back the money, it has to be my definition of money, not some pieces of wood that you decided to label money in your own language. It doesn't work by your own language. So the Gemara is going to have a lengthy discussion when Moshe Rabbeinu's Mashpia Klal Yisrael, at the end of his life, Al Das HaMakom Va'al Da'ati. So why does he have to say Al Das HaMakom Va'al Da'ati? Is that a raya that otherwise it could be subject to whatever their language is? And the Gemara is going to have a whole bunch of other suggestions of different formulations Moshe Rabbeinu could have used if he wanted Klal Yisrael to observe Torah, to commit to observing Torah mitzvos. Then the Gemara is going to explore whether there actually is such a thing as a nachash that's kikoros beis abad, because that's one of the guzmaos that's mentioned in the Mishnah as a shvua shav, that there's no such thing as a nachash kikoros beis abad. So the Gemara is going to explore whether in fact there could be such a thing as a nachash that's kikoros beis abad. And then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to discuss who is included. Once we discuss some of the details of Shavuah Shav and Shavuos Bitoy first, then Shavuah Shav, we're going to say, okay, now both of these sets of halacha, who is included in these Isurim of Shavuah Shav, Shavuos Bitoy? Men, women, kashreid, and pasaleid, and beid, does it have to be in front of Bezin, not in front of Bezin, and what the punishment for each of them is? And the Gemara is going to, the concluding sugya of the parak is going to be whether answering Amen to a Shavuah is the same thing as taking a Shavuah. Does saying Amen count as a commitment to the Shavua itself? So let's pick up about six lines from the end of the page. Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Last run on the line is Shavua, and this is Shaila number three that Avimi asked Eifa. Shavua Shelo Ochel Eser, and then a second Shavua Vitesha, that he's not going to eat nine. So a person takes Mahu, what's the din? A person takes a Shavua, he's not going to eat 10 figs, and then a second Shavua that he's not going to eat 9 figs. So what's the halacha in such a case? So Amalei, Eino Chayiv Ela Achas. You're only going to be Chayiv for violation of one Shavua, because obviously if you're not going to eat 10 figs, you're not going to eat 9 figs, so there's nothing that you added in the second Shavua that wasn't already included in the first Shavua. So I'm like, Ishtabasht, no, you made a mistake. In the first Shavua, he said he's not going to eat 10, which means he's still allowed to eat 9. And therefore, when he then further commits not to eat 9, that's a second Shavua that is going to be chal, because he's now committing to more than he had originally committed to. Now he's committing that he's not even going to eat 9. And therefore, when he eats 9 figs, he's in violation of the second Shavua. When he eats the 10th fig, he's going to be in violation of the first Shavua as well. Amar Abaye, Zimnin the Mishkachas Allah. Ad Ifa. Sometimes it turns out that Ifa is correct. As Rashi points out, three lines from the bottom, the Shvush lo ochel eser, v'teisha, v'ochel eser, de'enu chayev ala achas. And if a person says 10, and then another Shvuah of 9, and he eats 10, then he's in fact only going to be chayev for one of the Shvuahs and not both Shvuahs. Sometimes Ifa is correct. How? Where do we have such a case where if you eat all 10, you're only going to be chayev for one Shvuah? After all, Avimi's point is a pretty strong point. After the first 9, you're already chayev for the second Shvuah, and then on the 10th one, you should be chayev for the first Shvuah, so you should be chayev for both. Now, kidemar, it could happen as the following case. Damar Rabba, Shvuah lo ochel tein v'anavim. Take a similar case, not with numbers, but he identified two different types of things. I take a shvuah that I'm not going to eat today a combination of figs and grapes. So if you eat just one without the other, then you didn't violate the shvuah. It's only if you eat both, figs and grapes. V'chazav amra shvuah shlo ochel teinim. And then you take a second shvuah that I'm not going to eat figs, nothing about grapes. So if you'd eat tein v'anavim on the same day, l'chorei you should be chayiv two shvuahs, because when you eat just te'enim, you're chayiv on the second Shavuah. When you then also eat grapes, you're going to be chayiv on the first Shavuah as well. But then what did you do? Not only did you eat figs and then eat grapes, but you did something in between. Va'achal te'enim v'hifrish karban. You ate te'enim and then you were mafrish a karban for the violation of the second Shavuah, and then va'achar kach achal anavim l'chudayu. And then you ate anavim without eating any more te'enim. So havilu anavim chatzi shir. Now anavim is considered a chatzi shir l'mechayev karban, and you're not going to be a chayev karban for a chatzi shir, because we consider it that once you were mafresh the karban, that's a break, and those te'enim that you ate initially will not be mitstarif with the anavim that you eat subsequently, and therefore you're not going to be chayev for the first shvuah of eating te'enim v'anavim b'yom echad. And as Rashi points out in the second line of the page, v'kivin shifresh karban al te'enim sulo mitstarfi anavim b'adai l'chiv yoshvos k'maisa, that once you are mafresh for the carbon and the tainim, it's not going to be mitzdarif to be mechayiv you together with the anavim for the first shvuah. Hachanami, so let's actually see this in the Gemara. So says the Gemara further. So the same would be true in Avimi and Ifa's case. Hachanami kigon da amr shvuah shlo ochel eser v'chazav amr shvuah shlo ochel teisha. Sometimes Ifa could be right in the case where a guy takes a shvuah he's not going to eat 10, and then he takes an additional shvuah that he's not going to eat 9 v'ochel teisha, and he eats 9 in violation of the second shvuah v'ifrish carbon. But then he's mafresh a karban, and then ve'achar kach ochel asiris, and then he eats the 10th. Havil asiris chatzi shir ve'chatzi shir l'mechayiv. Then the 10th one is a chatzi shir, and you're not going to be chayiv for a chatzi shir. So that would be the case that Ifa is correct against the critique of Avimi on Ifa. So now says the Mishnah. Now we're going to discuss what is the definition of shvuah shav. So says the Mishnah. Ezo hi shvuah shav. What is a shvuah shav? So there are many definitions of what is a shvuah shav, specifically three. Number one, nishba l'shana sasiyadua la'adam. He takes a mishnah to be mishana to say that what is known is not true, something that's an obvious fact, and he says against that fact. There is a machlokas rishonim. What if he's nishba l'kayim, something that's yadua l'kol? Is that also asa min haTorah? Some of the rishonim understand that even if he's nishba l'kayim as yadua l'kol, that's also included in the isra of shvuah shav. That is the sheet of the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Shavuos, and the Rif as well, that even if he's a nishba l'kayim, that's also shvuah shav. The Maram Shik writes that even though the Mishnah doesn't say a shvuah shav where you nishba l'kayim davar yadua l'kol, it's pashut that that's also included in shvuah shav, because shvuah shav means you're taking a shvuah with no meaning, with no value. So you take a shvuah on shel even, shehi shel even. You take a rock and you take a shvuah that this is a rock, and everyone knows that it's a rock. So of course that's a shvuah shav. However, the Ritva quotes Rishonim that when you're nishba l'kayim davar siyadua l'kol, it's only nisid rabbanon. It's only going to be makas mardus. It's not going to be an isudar raisa of shvuah shav. So what are examples of this? Of nishba l'shano siyadua l'adam? So says the Gemara, it says the Mishnah, Amar ala amud shaleven shu shel zahav. You say about an amud shaleven that it's really zahav. Vali ish shu isha, about a man that it's a woman. Vali isha shehi ish, and about a woman that it's a man. The Gemara is going to say that it has to be something that's yadua lakal, that people recognize it, that people see it as obvious. Sometimes not so obvious. What's a man? Especially in today's day and age. What's a man? What's a woman? But if it's something that's obvious to everybody, you take a standard man or a standard woman, and you take a shavua that they are the opposite, that would be a violation of a shavua shav. So you have several examples over here of Nishba Lashanos Esiyadu L'Adam. The Torah Chaim asks why the Mishnah has to be Mefaret examples of Nishba. We get it. Why do you need three different examples? Nishba Lashanos. So the Torah Chaim suggests that the Mishnah is being Mechadesh, that even by an Amud Evan, it could be that it's like an Amud Shel Zav, and it could be that he made a mistake in the Shvua, but still we say no, he didn't make a mistake, because if three people know that this is an Amud Shel Evan, so we say it's Vaday Shvua Shav. And similarly, an Ishu Isho or an Isha She Ish, we're talking about that that they look similar to each other, that this is a man that has feminine looks to him, or a female that has masculine looks. So you might have thought that no, he's not a Shvua Shav, he made a mistake, he misidentified the person. So we're saying, no, as long as three people recognize, as long as it's obvious enough that three people would recognize, so then it's still going to be considered a Shvua Shav. Second example of a Shvua Shav, says the Mishnah, Nishba al davar she'i efshalo. Second definition, rather, take a Shvua on something that's impossible. For example, imlo ri'isi gamal sheparech ba'avir, that you say that if I take a Shvua, if I didn't see like a camel that's parech ba'avir. The Gemara is going to explain what the lashon of imlo ri'isi. Shouldn't it just be I took a Shvua that I saw a gamal parech ba'avir? So the Gemara is going to have two explanations. Vimlo ri'isi nachash kikoras beis abad, or I saw a snake that's like the beam by the olive press. So that's also that's also another example. Amr le'edim, bo v'yiduni shavua shalona idcha. Or you tell Edim, I want you to come and be made for me. And they take a shavua that they're not going to be made for him. That's also considered something that's e'efshar. That's what Rashi writes. Shalona idcha bitul mitzvahu, hainu davar she'efshar. That when they take a shavua to be mevatel mitzvah, they have an obligation to come and testify if they know testimony. If they take a shavua that they're not going to share their testimony, that's like a shavua on a davar she'efshar. And that leads us right into the third definition of a Shvua Shav, Nishba Levatel Samitzvah. Person takes a Shvua to be Mevatel Mitzvah. So what are examples of a Shvua to be Mevatel Samitzvah? Shalo La'asul Sukkah. Person takes a Shvua that he's not going to make a Sukkah. V'shalo Lita Lulav. Or a Shvua that he's not going to take a Lulav. V'shalo La'niach Tfilin. Or a Shvua that he's not going to put on Tfilin. Zui Shvua Shav Shechayav Nal Zonamakos Sal Shigasa Pater. That is, those are all the three definitions of a Shvua Shav. A Shvua to be Mishana as Hiyadua La'adam, a Shvua on something that's Shvua L'Shana as Hiyadua La'adam is number one, a Shvua that's E.F. Sharlow, that's impossible to happen, and a Shvua to be Mevata L'mitzvah. Those are our three definitions. Now it is striking, the examples that we give of a Shvua for Bittul Mitzvah. So first of all, it's striking that this is even a third category, that Shvua Bittul Mitzvah is there's Machlokes Rishonim what exactly this Shvua Shav is. Is it in fact a third category? Rashi explains that Shvua Bittul Mitzvah, there are really only two categories. That's something on a Davar She'i'ef Shalo, because you're not allowed to be Mevatel Mitzvah. It's just that there's Metzius E'ef Shalo and there's Halachic E'ef Shalo, but they're both in the same category. However, it sounds from the Rambam that a Shvua to Mevatel Mitzvah is not part of the same category as a Shvua She'ef Shalo La'asosa, because the Rambam writes in the first parak of Hilchos Shvuos that there are four different Shvua Shav. He says Shvua La Davar Yadua She'eino Kein, like Nishba La Ishu Isha. Then there's Shvua Al Kiyum La Davar Yadua La Kol, Nishba La Shemayim Shem Shemayim, meaning, and that's what we said before, it's Machlokes Rishonim, whether that too is a Shvua Shav. You take a Shvua that's something that's obvious is so. Then the third category, Shvua Al Bittul Mitzvah, and the fourth category, Shvua like that, something that's impossible to do, like that you're not going to sleep for 3 days. So you see that Bittul Mitzvah and something that's Yevshal HaSoso, the Rambam puts as two separate categories. So that is somewhat striking. What's also striking over here, that Nishba Levatel HaMitzvah Shalo La'asos Sukkah is considered a Nishba Levatel HaMitzvah. So this is one of the Makaros and Chazal that make it sound like Asiyas Sukkah is a mitzvah. The Pashtus is Asiyas Sukkah is not a mitzvah. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Chesam Beis that Sukkah's ganvach is ksheira, that a Sukkah that's made by Goyim, Nashim, Behema, Kut, mutim. Even that's kosher. Why am I allowed to sit in the sukkah that an isha made? An isha's pot from sukkah. I'm allowed to sit in the sukkah that an isha made. If I have a mitzvah to make a sukkah, so I understand not everybody is going to make a sukkah because you have one sukkah that accommodates many people. But still, that I'm going to sit in the sukkah that's made by someone who's not even a bar chiyuva. It should be if there's a mitzvah to make a sukkah. L'chor, women are not chayiv in such a mitzvah to make a sukkah. Nevertheless, there are a number of makaros that seem to suggest that there is some sort of mitzvah to make a sukkah. So, for example, Rashi Maseches Makos, when the Gemara talks about whether when a person is chopping wood, what if he's chopping wood l'shem mitzvah? If he's chopping wood for a mitzvah, is that considered to be that you would go to Golus if a piece flies out and kills somebody? Because that's the example the Torah gives of when someone kills someone by accident, that he's chopping wood and a splinter shoots out and it kills somebody else, that's he kills him b'shogeg, so he goes to Golus. What if it's chatavas eitzim to mitzvah? So the Gemara says, no, there's no mitzvah to chop wood for a sukkah. Zakt Rashi, no mitzvah to chop wood for a sukkah, only a mitzvah to, and you expect him to say, sit in the sukkah. But no, Rashi says, only a mitzvah to build a sukkah, which is stunning. What do you mean a mitzvah to build a sukkah? In fact, the She'iltos, and I think it's Kuf Samaches, the She'iltos writes that there's a mitzvah in the Me'eved Matalalta, to make a sukkah, and the Netziv goes wild on that Maramakum. He quotes the Rashi Yamakos, I think he quotes even our Mishnah. He says, you see from the She'iltos that there is a mitzvah to build a sukkah, but the Netziv says, what are you talking about? It doesn't say that in the Torah. It says, Chaga Sukkas Tasalcha, but it's clear that the real mitzvah is Basukkas Teshu, is to live in the sukkah. Sukkas Ganvach is kasher. It's interesting what Sukkas Ganvach actually means. Because, you know, we assume that Sukkas Ganvach means a sukkah made by those people. It's just difficult because a sukkah's behema is a sukkah made by a behema. Rabbi Yaakov, there's a Rabbeinu Tam. There seems to be a fundamental stira of a piece in this my sefer that sukkahs, on the one hand, sukkahs ganvach is kasher, which means someone who's not mechuyev b'davar is able to make the chefetz shel mitzvah. Right, a woman is not mechuyev in sukkah, and yet she has the ability to create a kasher chefetz shel mitzvah. On the other hand, there's a sugya in Gittin Memhei where the Gemara tells us that ukshartem uchsaftem, that only someone who's yeshna b'kshira, only someone who's chayiv in wearing tefillin, is able to write tefillin. That's why a woman can't be a sofer, she can't write tefillin, she's not mechuyev in the mitzvah of tefillin itself. So beferish, that since she's not mechuyev b'davar, memela, she's not able to make the chavtah shel mitzvah. So which is the rule, which is the exception? What about a woman tying tzitzis? Do we say that since she's not mechuyev b'davar, she cannot make tzitzis? Or do we say, no, just like sukkas ganvach is kasher, so it should be fine to make tzitzis as well? So Rabbeinu Tam says a woman is not allowed to make tzitzis, which makes it sound like the rule is that someone who's not mechuyev b'davar cannot create a chavtah shel mitzvah. So everyone, all the achronim, ask Rabbeinu Tam, what do you do about sukkas ganvach? What do you do about the fact that a woman's allowed to make a sukkah? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it doesn't say a woman's allowed to make a sukkah. It says that a sukkah's nashim is kosher. Sukkah's nashim might mean a sukkah that a man made for the benefit of women, meaning he built the sukkah for the women. So that's all it means. It's a big chiddush that that's what sukkahs ganvach means, but it's not such a big chiddush in terms of sukkahs behema, right? Sukkahs behema doesn't mean that the behema built a sukkah. It could be that a behema somehow hollowed out an area, made itself a home or something. So whether you're allowed to use that for a sukkah, but pashtos is sukkahs behema is like Yaakov Avinu made sukkahs for his animals, right? So the Netziv points out that it seems that there's some inyan of mitzvah in building a sukkah. So that's when the Netziv comes up with this fantastic idea where the Netziv says that we often think of things as a mitzvah or just a hechsher mitzvah. He says there's in fact a third category. There's a typical hechsher mitzvah where you prepare to do a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah at all. It's just getting ready for the mitzvah. And there are mitzvahs, but there's a third in between category. There's hechsher mitzvah, haksuva b'kra. Sometimes you have a hechsher mitzvah that the Torah itself identifies the hechsher mitzvah. Make tzitzis for yourself. You should make sukkos for yourself. So even though that's not the mitzvah, but as a hechsher mitzvah, it shares many of the characteristics of a mitzvah. So much so that Netziv says, mitzvah bo, yosem mi b'shlucho. On a hechsher mitzvah, better to do it yourself rather than to have a shliach do it. Normally we would think that that only applies
to mitzvahs. But no, you see from our Mishnah, a person takes a shvua not to build a sukkah, it's as if he's giving up on a mitzvah. Because mitzvah bo, yosemri b'shlucho, applies to any hechsher mitzvah, k'suvah b'kras. So the tziv identifies a few. Making your own tzitzis, he thinks mitzvah bo, yosemri b'shlucho. Obviously, you have to know what you're doing. If you don't know how to tie a tzitzis, then probably better to have somebody else do it. Or, for example, the tziv says preparing for Shabbos. He says it's so strange. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about how this Amara used to sweep the floor, and that one made a potato kugel, and that one. Well, what do we have to know? This one, you know, how each one. No, the point is that they went out of their way to do something in preparing for Shabbos, because that's a hechsher mitzvah k'suvah b'kra. That preparations for Shabbos, not just tam hechsher mitzvah. So a person should do something personal to do the preparations. So that's an interesting idea that we say over here that shalol la'asol sukkah is a shvuah to mean batel mitzvah. Then the Mishnah tells us, what if a person takes two competing shvuahs? Shvuah sha'ochal kikarzu, shvuah shlo ochlena. A shvuah that I will eat this loaf of bread, and a shvuah that I won't eat this loaf of bread. So Rishon shvuah's bitoy ve'ashini shvuah shav. First one is a shvuah's bitoy, a regular commitment to do something, and the second one is a shvuah shav, because once he has an obligation to eat it, to take a shvuah that he's not going to eat it, is a shvuah to be mevatel le'mitzvah, and that's one of our definitions of shvuah shav. Achla, therefore, if he goes and he eats that kikar, Avral Shvuah Shav. He's in violation of Shvuah Shav. Lo Achla, Avral Shvuah Bitoy. If he doesn't eat it, he's in violation of his initial Shvuah, which is Shvuah Bitoy. So the Achronim were all bothered. Only if he eats it, he's in violation of Shvuah Shav. The very moment he took that second Shvuah, it's a violation of Shvuah Shav. Once you have a Shvuah Bitoy that you have to eat it, saying a Shvuah that you're not going to eat it, regardless of what you then do, just saying the Shvuah itself is a violation of Shvuah Shav. Yeah, probably we're just trying to parallel Achla with Lo Achla, but in a Chinami, even if you don't eat it, it's no matter what you do, it's a violation of Shvuah Shav when you take that second Shvuah. Okay, period. Says the Gemara now, Amar Ula, V'hu Shenikar L'Gimel B'nei Adam. This idea that you're taking a shvuah on something that's yadua la'adam, what does it mean, l'shanel says yadua la'adam? Who knows about it? So it has to be something that's nicker l'gimel b'nei adam, that at least three people recognize it, meaning it's obvious enough that three people know about it. Nishmal davar she'ef shalo. If a person takes a shvuah on something that's ef shalo, that's impossible. Imlo re'isi gamel parech ba'avir. And the Mishnah gave the example, if I didn't see a camel flying in the air. Shvuah she're'isi lo ka'amar, mayim lo re'isi. Why such an unusual phrasing of the Mishnah? I would have said that the shvuah would be a shvuah that I saw a camel flying in the air. That's a strange thing to see. So that's an obvious, obviously not true. What's imlo re'isi? Two explanations. Abaye Amar Tani, Shvuah Shari'isi. Change the words in the Mishnah. The Mishnah should be Shvuah Shari'isi. It's not Imlo Re'isi. Rava Amar, no, there's a way to fix the phrasing. Ba'omer Ye Asru Kol Peros Shabalam Alai, Imlo Re'isi, Gamal Parech Ba'avir. A guy who says that all the peros in the world should be Asru to me if I didn't see a Gamal Parech Ba'avir. Amale Ravina Ravashi, Vidilma Hai Gavrit Sipar Rabachazi, Vasakle Shma Gamla. How do you know what this guy means? Maybe this guy saw a giant bird, and in a language that he makes up on his own private language, he calls giant birds flying camels, because he doesn't have the, for whatever reason, he doesn't know the different species of birds, so he comes up with his own titles for the birds, or he doesn't have the vocabulary, a vast enough vocabulary to know the word big bird. So instead of saying a big bird, he calls it a flying camel in his own language. So v'chika mishtava, adaita didei ishtava. And when he took a shvuah, it was with his own das. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema basar pume azlinon, v'lo azlinon basar daite. What, do you really think that works? That a person's shvuah is going to be based on his own, the Gemara says, and if you're going to tell me that no, he couldn't have meant a giant bird, because we wouldn't listen to what he thinks, we would listen to what he says. And when he said a flying camel, he may have been thinking a giant bird, but that's not what those aren't the words he said. The words he said are a flying camel. We don't listen to what's in his head. We listen to the words that came out of his mouth. Vatanya Shemashbino, so Omrim lo haviyodea shalol dait chadu mashbino scha el adatein vadaz beizdin. But wait a second. When we're mashbia a person in Beizdin, we are very careful to tell him that you should know that that this shvua that you're taking is not based on your own language and what your own thinking is. Rather, it's al das based in. My time alav mishum darmina and dilma iskundure yahivle vaasiglu zuze dechikamishtava daiti dide kamishtava.
Why do we have to make that abundantly clear that this is not on your own das, that this is al das based in? Isn't it because we're concerned that maybe this guy who's swearing that he already paid back the money gave him some wood chips, and in his mind, he calls wood chips money, he calls wood chips $1 million, so he's going to say, oh, I paid back the $1 million. And in his mind, he's thinking wood chips. So we have to say, listen, it's not your definition of the words $1 million, it's the rest of humanity's definition of the word $1 million that we're being meshbiya you. So we have to actually say that, otherwise we have to be concerned that what's in his mind actually matters. Says Marlon, no, that's not why we have to say it. The reason we have to say that lo al daitcha is not because he has some alternative language in his mind that we're not aware of. That would be irrelevant to us. People can't make their own languages, then their shvua is going to be chal based on their own language. No, the concern over there is hasa mishum kanya de Rava. The concern over there was the case of the stick of Rava, meaning the case was that in Rava's based in, Rashi points out the case, a guy had to take a shvua, and he said, oh, while I take a shvua, just do me a favor. He tells the other litigant, hold my walking stick. And he says, sure, I'll hold your walking stick while you take a shvua that you haven't paid me back the money. And then he takes a shvua, I already gave him all the money, because hidden in the walking stick was all the money. So he actually did give him back the money, real money, by all of our definitions of money. But the guy didn't realize that he was holding on to the money, and then he took his walking stick back afterwards, and that's how we worked through. So we tell him, lo al daitcha, what we call giving back the money, meaning giving back the money in a way that he's conscious of the fact that he received the money, that he knows he has the money, that he gets to keep the money, all of that. So it's not about some alternative language the guy has in his head. That would be irrelevant. Any alternative language he has in his head is irrelevant. Tashma says Mar will bring another raya, whether a language that a person has in his own mind is relevant to the Shavua or not. We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Mashpia, Klal Yisrael. So he wanted it, many great Jewish leaders at the end of their life were concerned for the spiritual well-being of the people after they die. So Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life made Klal Yisrael swear to me, you're going to continue to observe the mitzvahs. The whole last two chapters of Sefer Yoshua, Yoshua's dying and he says to the Zekanim first and then to the entire people, swear to me over and over again, you're not going to do Avodah Zarah, you're going to keep the mitzvahs. So Moshe Rabbeinu did this at the end of his life. Please swear that you're going to do the mitzvahs. So Amalan, du'u, shalol da'it chemani. This shvua that I'm making you take is not based on your own das. It's the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and my das. Why doesn't he just say, do what God says? Isn't it because if he says, do what God says, they'll say, well, which God? Maybe it's an Avodah Zarah. It's whatever God we have in our minds, our language of what's called a God. So don't you see that what's going on in someone's mind can determine the language of a shvua? Says Marlo, Mishum Davodus Chav Nami Yikri Aloha. No, it's because the term Aloha refers to Avodah Zarah itself, meaning that's not just in their minds, that's actually the right word to describe. You know, Elohim Acherim is actually the way we describe Avodah Zarah. Dechsev Elohei Chesef, Elohei Zav. So that's why he had to say, when I say God, I mean the true God. V'leimelu, but couldn't he have phrased it differently? Kimu Torah. Let him say, be Mekayim the Torah. Says Gemara, that wouldn't have worked, because Chad the Torah. They would have said, oh yeah, which one? Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebichsav? They would have been a bunch of Karaites. They could have said, oh, we only committed to Torah Shebichsav. V'leimelu kimu shtei Toros. So why doesn't he say, fulfill two Toros? And that way, they would know that it's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebichsav that they're committing to. Says Gemara, no, there are other things that are two Toros, like Toros Chattas for Toros Hashem. Maybe they'll say, okay, we commit to Toros Chattas and Toros Hashem, but not the other 611 mitzvot in the Torah that we're not committing to. The whole conversation is very difficult. Tosfos points out he's so nervous that they're not going to observe the Torah that they're going to do Avodah Zarah. So he says you have to take a shvua that you're not going to do Avodah Zarah. Says Tosfos, if they're chashur on violating Avodah Zarah, might they also be chashur on violating the Isser of Shavua? You know, that Shavua is one Isser in the Torah. We're being chashur that they're going to violate Avodah Zarah. It says, tells us, interesting, ktsas kasha. A little difficult to understand. He should have been just as afraid that they're going to violate a shvua. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, this gives you a little bit of insight into the psychology of many of the people who violated
Avodah Zarah. It's not that they were not believers in God. It's not that they were not believers in Torah Mitzvah. It's hard to us to understand that. But he says, you know, the Ramban about the Chet Egel, and Rabbi Yaakov says by Pesel Micha also, we find that many of the times that people violated Avodah Zarah, it was as an Emtsai to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They thought they needed that Avodah Zarah in order to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it wasn't that they were rejecting the entire system, lock, stock, and barrel. It wasn't that. I was just talking to Dr. Lyman this past Shabbos about the Emden Eibshitz controversy. It was always so stunning to me that Rabbi Yaakov Emden is going to accuse Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz of being a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. Did he really think that Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz was being Mevatel Ta'anios and that he was being Mevatel the Torah? It was obvious that he was an observant Jew, no, at the very least. So he said, no, I mean, there were different levels. There were people that believed in Shabtai Tzvi was the Mashiach, but we're not ready to be Mevatel the fast days, and we're still absolutely committed to Torah Mitzvos. But they believed that the Mashiach had come, even with an absolute commitment to Torah Mitzvos. He said, also, once Rabbi Yaakov Emden believed that someone was a Shabtai Tzvi follower, he would hurl whatever accusations. He thought that it's worth lying and whatever, because if you could bring him down, it doesn't make a difference whether your accusations are true or not. It's such a mitzvah rabbah to bring the person down. But it's hard to get into the psychology of such people. People who believe in Avodah Zarah, but they don't. It's not that they don't believe in God. It's not that they don't believe in Torah Mitzvah, so they would never violate an Isser of Shvuah. Or some people, Ben Adam L'Makom, they have issues. But Ben Adam L'Chaver, I would never say something that's a lie. But Ben Adam L'Makom, they have their issues. And that, so it says in Mar, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu make them commit Kimu Kol HaTorah Kula? They have to fulfill the entire Torah. So Avodah Chavim, because then they would have assumed it's Avodah Zarah only. Damar Chamur Avodah Chavim, Shkala Kofar Bakamod, Kol HaTorah Kula. But what about Shabbos and Kashrus and everything else? So it wouldn't have been enough to just say Kol HaTorah Kula. V'leimelu Kimu Mitzvah. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say Kimu Mitzvah? Fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. Shouldn't that cover everything? So it says Mar Chada Mitzvah. Then people might have said it's only a single mitzvah. Kimu Mitzvos. So then Moshe Rabbeinu should have said fulfill the mitzvahs. Tarti. Mitzvos is just plural. Then maybe they would have picked their two favorite mitzvos. They would have done that, and then it would not have been a violation of the Shavua. Kol HaMitzvos Kulan. Couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu have said, fulfill all of the mitzvos? Mitzvah Tzitzis. Because then it might have been only a reference to a single mitzvah, the mitzvah of Tzitzis, which corresponds to Kol HaMitzvos Kulan. Damar, Shkula Mitzvah Tzitzis, connected Kol HaMitzvos Kulan. Then Tzitzis is Shkula, weighs as much, is as weighty as all the other mitzvos. And that's what Rashi points out. Zechartim is Kol Mitzvos Hashem. Gematria is Sheish Meos. Tzitzis is Sheish Meos of Gematria. And Shmon Uchutin, Chamisha Ksharim, eight strings, five knots, Hare Yud Gimel. So in that sense, even the physical way that we make the tzitzis resembles Taryag Mitzvah. So it's such a chashuv mitzvah, it's Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos. Tosfos points out, it is interesting, if we want to say a mitzvah that's Keneged Kol HaMitzvos, why do we shift off of Avodah Zarah? Right? Isn't that also Shkula? He says, Hadashav Gavod Zcham, Dechsiv Banami, Chisishk V'lo Sasu, Es Kol HaMitzvos, Eil Bar Shalach Lecha, Vromish Kol HaKov Bakamoda, Bekol HaTorah Kula, Mishum Dublashum Adam Lomikri Kol HaMitzvos El Tzitzis. Yeah, it's true that we view Avodah Zarah as like Kol HaTorah Kula, but in Lashem B'nei Adam we only call Tzitzis Kol HaTorah Kula. V'leim Elohu, so why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say Kimu Sheish Meos V'Shol Shesher Mitzvos? Do Taryag Mitzvos? Well, there's a second place in Chazal. It's interesting, the Ramban, his first Hasaga, the Sefer HaMitzvos, says on the Rambam, Me'echi Tesi, that there has to be 613 Mitzvos. What? Because there's one nice Maimer Chazal at the end of Masech Zmachot says there's 613. It's not just one, there are a few, right? This is the Gemara over here also. It assumes 613, that's the total count of the mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, Ul Taimech Lemelu Al Da'ati, Al Das HaMakom Lameli. So he says, okay, forget this whole line of questioning. If what Moshe Rabbeinu was really trying to get them to do was to not make up their own language in their own head, why does he have to say Al Das HaMakom? Just say Al Da'ati. Say, I'm making you take a Shavua, but the definitions of the terms are my definitions. Why does he have to say Al Das HaMakom? El Kiech Dolotavi HaFar. He had to say Al Das HaMakom in order to make it that they shouldn't have any way to be made for the Shavua. A neder shuhudar Al Das Rabim, you're not allowed to be made for the Shavua. So he had to say Al Das HaMakom to make it that it's impossible to have a hafara on such a Shavua. I also found it interesting that we assume that if you say Taryag Mitzvos, that encapsulates Kol HaTorah Kula. Right? We sort of left it at that. That if it actually would Rabbi about all Tarayag Mitzvahs, that would encapsulate Kol HaTorah Kula. That a person could be a perfect Jew with just Tarayag Mitzvahs, meaning leaving out what they call the fifth Shulchan Aruch, or the Ratzon HaTorah. So what you have to say is, included in the Tarayag Mitzvahs is Vasisa Yashav HaTov, you know, which is a broad mitzvah that would include a lot of things that aren't actually like the Ramban writes, that aren't actually specified in the Torah. Okay, V'im Lo Risi Nachash Karis Beis Abad. Another example of a guzma we had, someone says, I didn't see a nachash like a karis beis abad. V'lo, v'hu dava b'shnei shavar malka, havad chad da achzik tleis arvasa tivna'i. There was a snake that was able to eat 13 stables full of teven. So isn't that a wide snake that's karis beis abad? Amar Shmuel b'taruf. No, it means a spotted snake. Kulunami mitzvah trifin. That's so unusual to find a spotted snake. B'shagavu taruf. It's unusual if the back of the snake is spotted. Shvo sho'ochal kikar zu shvo sho'ochlana. Then we said the competing shvos. The guy takes a shvo that he will eat a loaf of bread and that he won't eat a loaf of bread. If the guy violates the first shvua, is he only chayv mishum shvos bitoy? He took a shvo that he's going to eat this loaf of bread and that he won't eat it, and then he doesn't eat it. So we said it's a violation of shvos bitoy. Isn't it also a violation of shvua shav the second he said the second shvua? Re yatsa shvua l'shav. The second shvua was a shvua l'shav. Of course it's a violation of Shavuos Shav. When it says that he's in violation of Shavuos Bitoy, it means he's even in violation of Shavuos Bitoy. Good, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shavuos Bitoy nehagis ba'anashim u'manashim. Shavuos Bitoy applies to both men and women, b'krovim b'rechokim, relatives and non-relatives, b'ksherim b'psulin, people who are kosher and people who are apostolados, b'fnei bezin v'shalo b'fnei bezin, both in front of bezin and not in front of bezin, mipi atzmo. But it's got to be something that you take Shavua on your own. That you say the Shavua b'piv, the pasuk says, and the Gemara is going to discuss, does mipiatzmo preclude a case where someone else says it and you answer amen? So we'll see that. V'chayav nazdona makos v'al shigasa karbonel v'yored. Person violates Shavuos Bitoy if he did it b'mezid, he's chayav malkos. If he did it b'shogeg, as we've seen, he's chayav karbonel v'yored. Shavua shav has similar but different rules. No heges ba'anashim u'b'nashim, b'rechokim u'b'krovim, b'ksherim u'psulin, b'fnei bezim v'shlo b'fnei bezim, umi piatzmo, all of that is the same as Shavuos Bitoy, but the chayavin al zdona makos shal shigasa pater. If you do it b'mezid, you chayav malkos, also like Shavuos Bitoy, but if you do it b'shogeg, there is no karbonel v'yored. On a Shavuos Shav, you do it b'shogeg, it's absolutely pater. Achazu va'achazu hamushba mipi acherim chayiv. In either event, either Shavuos Shav or Shavuos Bitoy, if someone else is mashbia you, you're chayiv. Which is interesting. The Gemara is going to ask that's a stira because we just said in both of them that it's mipi atzmo, not mipi acherim. Lo achalti ayom, lo nachti tefillin ayom, mashbiach anivam ramein, chayiv. The guy says I didn't eat today, or I didn't put on tefillin today, and they say mashbiach ani, and he says amen, so he's going to be chayiv. First example is a shvuos bitoy. Second example is a shvuos shav, because you have to put on tefillin, so that's a violation of shvuos shav. But in either case, just answering amen is enough to be mechayiv the person. So Amar Shmuel, kol ona amen achas shvuah, kamotzi shvuah b'piv dami. Anyone who answers amen to shvuah, it's as if he said the shvuah with his own words. Tichsiv. V'amri isha amen amen. Pasuk says that the isha says amen amen, and that's enough to be mashpia her in the parsha of Sota. Amrav papa mishmed derava masnisin ubraisa nami deka. What emerges from a seeming stira between the Mishnah and Braisa teaches us that saying amen is the same thing as saying the shvua. Why? What's the stira? Tikatani. We have a Mishnah that says shvua seidus nahag our Mishnah nahagas ba nashim velo benashim applies to. I'm sorry, not our Mishnah. Tomorrow's Mishnah. Shvua seidus applies to men. Shvua say our Mishnah was about shvua bitoy and shvua shav. A shvua seidus is only by men, not for women. Baruchokim velo bekrovim, only to people who are unrelated, meaning people who are kasher for eidus. Beksherin velo bepsulim, kasher eidim not pasulim. Ve'ina nohagas al beruin lahed, only for people who are roy to be made. Befnei bezin v'shalom befnei bezin, and mipi atzmo. Mipi acherim ein chayav nashiyichbra than bezin divrei meir. Rameir says if the shvua was mipi acherim, you're not going to be chayav unless you were kofar in bezin. V'tanya bebraisa shvua seidus ketsan, and yet the braisa tells us how does shvua seidus work out. Come testify for me. They say we take a shvua, we don't know any edus. Oh, they don't say shvua, they just say we don't know edus. And the guy says, mashbi ani alechem, I hereby am chayv yu shvua. Amru, amen. And they say amen. Bein bifnei bezin, bein shalom bifnei bezin. Whether that's bifnei bezin or not. Bein biatzman, bein biacherim. Whether the other ones are verbalized to someone else. Kivin shakafrim, chayav and divrame. Rame says they're going to be chayav. Kashina adadi. Don't you see it's a stira between the two sources? Because over here we're saying mipiacherim, he's chayav, Rame is mechayav, even shalom bebezin. And in the Mishnah we said that mipiacherim, Rame is only mechayav in bezin. Elav, shmamina, hada ana amen, hada lo ana amen. Shmamina. Apparently the difference is whether you answer amen. When you say amen, that's not called mipi acherim. That's already called mipi atzmo. When you don't say amen, the guy just says shvua. Do you take a shvua? And he says yes, I take a shvua. But he never said amen. He never said amen. So that's not mipi atzmo. Now our Mishnah is also meduyik this way, that saying amen is as if you said the shvua itself. But here's the key line: mipi atzmo. It says that the shvua is only going to be mipi atzmo in mipi acherim lo, and that implies only mipi atzmo, not mipi acherim. And yet, v'katani seifa zev zev mushpim piachirim chayiv. That in either case, by shvua shav shvuas bito, if you're mushpim piachirim, you are chayiv. Kashina dadi blatant stiru within our Mishnah. Is it only mipiatzmo, or is it even mipiachirim? Elav shmamina hadana amen hadalo ana amen. So you see clearly, there's a difference between saying amen and not saying amen. That mipiatzmo is going to be chayiv. Mipiatzmo below mipiachirim is if you didn't answer amen, but you could be chayiv mipiachirim if you answered amen to the achirim, because that's the same as mipi atzmo. Velo Shmuel, my kamash Shmuel. Whoa, once it's so explicit in our Mishnah, what's the great chiddush of Shmuel? The first line of our Gemara was Amar Shmuel, Galona Amen Ad Shmuel Kamatz Shmuel Pivdami. Forget about Amar Shmuel, Amra HaMishnah, the Mishnah already taught us. So, yeah, but would you have noticed it? Zukiya Demasnisim, Kamash Shmuel. Shmuel's teaching us how to read the Mishnah. He's telling us that's what you should be medayik in the Mishnah, that saying Amen is the same thing as saying it mipi atzmo. Hadron Lach Shmuel Shtayim, and tomorrow we'll pick up with the fourth parak of Masechta Shavuos.